publishing, there were just four mega authors, as he put it: Michael Crichton, Stephen King, Tom Clancy, and John Grisham. And two of them had been Ovitz clients. In the publishing world, Ovitz explained, new authors go where the big authors are. Ovitz negotiated with Tom Clancy, brought him in for a tour of the studio, and persuaded him to move to Hyperion. But Eisner balked at the advance Ovitz negotiated, though it turned out to be half what Clancy got when he moved to Putnam. Stephen King had a deal for miniseries with NBC. Ovitz wanted to offer him a joint publishing TV deal at Disney. Eisner never gave him the authority to go ahead. When MCA Universal put Putnam on the block, Ovitz met with Putnam's chief executive, Phyllis Gran, and negotiated a price of $350 million to acquire the publishing company. The deal would have brought Clancy and at least 12 other best-selling authors to Disney, and in Ovitz's view, would have put Hyperion Publishing on the map. Eisner vetoed the deal. Putnam was subsequently sold to Pearson of England for $336 million. Similarly, Ovitz came up with several proposals to expand Hollywood Records, a business he knew well. He had represented Michael Jackson, Barbara Streisand, and Prince for years at CAA. And, as he later explained, there was zero chance he'd move them to Hollywood Records, which lacked the worldwide distribution and the clout with radio stations that came from releasing hundreds of titles a year. Hollywood Records had no blockbuster acts, and as a result, no clout. Like authors, Ovitz argued, recording artists were migratory birds who went where the top stars were. Ovitz felt his only hope was to offer recording stars the kind of television and film options that Disney could offer. "We've got to book a mega act," he argued to Eisner, and Eisner agreed, or at least that was Ovitz's impression. Ovitz had represented the Jackson family, including both Michael and Janet, for 25 years. He knew that Janet Jackson, then the world's number one selling recording artist, was restless at Virgin Records and was considering a change. Because of his close ties to the family, he was able to negotiate a deal that would have brought Janet Jackson to Hollywood Records in a seven-record deal for $75 million. But when Ovitz brought the deal to Eisner for approval, he rejected it out of hand. "We'll grow our own acts," he said. "You can't just grow a major music act," Ovitz insisted. "You've never grown a major act," he pointed out, which seemed to annoy Eisner. Ovitz couldn't even return to Jackson with a lower offer. Instead, she signed a new four-album, $80 million deal with Virgin, nearly twice as much as Ovitz had negotiated for Disney. Ovitz's credibility as a dealmaker collapsed as word of the Jackson negotiations spread through the close-knit recording industry. Nor would Eisner allow Ovitz to replace the head of Hollywood Records, despite acknowledging the studio's weak performance and problems with the division head's work ethics and other personal issues. He said he expected Ovitz to fix the problems without signing new talent or changing management. Confronted with these failures, Ovitz began negotiating a $3 billion joint venture that would have merged the Hollywood and Sony labels. Sony president Nobuyuki Idei has always been obsessed with Walt Disney, Ovitz explained, pointing out to Eisner that Idei's daughter had written her Japanese university